universe is big. We're small. God may feel far away, but he's not. This is the You're Not Alone podcast, and I'm your host, Pastor Dave Andrus. One thing I've noticed in life, the older you get, the more you start getting aches and pains. I'm actually now 60 years old, and my knees and my hips, nothing bad, but they bother me at times. And my dad has it too, that his knees, his hips, his back bothers him. And you've heard me talk about my back before, and it's all related to my back, so I'm told by the doctors. That when my back is twisted and such, my hips get moved out of alignment, and then that affects my knees. And so I do exercises and stretching and whatever to try to get it better. Well, as I was having this issue in the last month here, just minor, a Bible reading came up about hips. And you know, I got to admit, I, for years, did not understand what and why this story was in the Bible and why so much is made of it. But maybe this year, with my hips and bother, and Liz, I'm now starting to understand it a little better. The story is from Genesis 32. Jacob is heading back home after being gone a long time, and it notes in chapter 32 that he sends his family ahead of him over the river, so he's all alone at night, and a man comes and he wrestles with him, and the man, who we find out later is God, realized he was not going to win. What the heck? I thought God could always win. Could not win against Jacob, so he touched to the socket of his hip and dislocated his hip. That's where the hip thing comes in. Man, I had that once where, not that the hip was dislocated, but, oh, ouch, man, that hurt. And that's where Liz comes in. She actually had a dislocated hip, and she was in the hospital to get a hip replacement because it kept getting dislocated. And she said, man, it hurts, and, oh, it was miserable. And I could tell just by talking with her how much pain she was in. Well, now back to the Bible story. I'm sorry. Jacob clung to the man after he dislocated his hip and said, and the man said, let me go, it's almost daybreak. What the heck is this? If it's God, why didn't he just toss him to the ground and walk away? Why didn't he zap him and kill Jacob or something, you know? But he let Jacob continue on with this wrestling match, and he clung to him and said, I will not let you go unless you give me a blessing. Now, that's the story. And I'll be honest, as I said earlier, I did not get this for years and years and years. As I was visiting Liz, I do some visitations of shut-ins and hospital people for the church I'm connected with that does support Not Alone Ministry, Abiding Savior. Thanks, guys. You're such a wonderful congregation. And Liz had some problems such that they couldn't finish the surgery right away. They actually took out the top of her hip, and they it's almost like a car part. They had to measure and get a different hip because they had the wrong one. So she had to lay there immobilized for 5 days until they got that hip and then a spot to in the surgery alignment to get her in. And I visited her during that time, and she literally was pinned to the bed from the waist down. And she, oh, and I could just well imagine. And then this Bible reading came up about Jacob, his hip dislocated as he was wrestling. And Liz had talked about the misery she was in prior to this, but now can't move, can't do anything. And, oh, my gosh, she was so frustrated. Well, I did see her after the surgery, and she said it's feeling better. And then just last week, I saw her again. She's in rehab now, and she was sitting up and moving and doing a bit of walking, and she had a smile on her face, and the energy was back. She said, but I can't walk without my walker, and I'm not supposed to put any weight on this for 3 months. So it's going to be a while, Pastor. And I just, wow, my hips and knees problem, that's nothing compared to what she's going through. And what Jacob was going through. Well, as I meditated and prayed for her and was thinking about this reading, maybe a little bit of light came on. If this was God, and we know it was, who was wrestling with him, obviously God was trying to do something here for Jacob. Now, as I mentioned, Jacob was coming back to his homeland. Well, he had run away because he had to flee his brother Esau because he tricked and schemed to get the inheritance rather than Esau getting it. And Esau was mad. That was when he traded for a pot of porridge. And then Jacob was doing the same scheming and cunningness and deception at his uncle's house where he was, 100 miles away or something like that. And in those days, that could have been 1,000 miles away because everything was done by walking. Until Laban got so upset and he realized, whoop, I think I worn out my welcome mat here. And off he went again. Well, that night, as he was wrestling, God matched him evenly and didn't want to beat him. Huh. But in matching him, he did beat him. Because Jacob realized for the very first time in his life, his cunningness, his craftiness, his strength, his strategic planning was not going to win. And especially when the hip was dislocated. And now I'm thinking back to Liz and the pain she went through. And oh my gosh. And if you've had any hip problems, you've had any walking problems, you can understand where Jacob was. He realized he had lost. So he was doing the only thing he could. Bless me. Bless me. Because he realized it was God. Ah, and it finally dawned on me why the man said, let me go because it's almost daybreak. If Jacob would have seen the face of God at daybreak, he would have died. That's why God wrestled with him at night, so he wouldn't see who he was, even though he knew by the end of the evening who he was. God was really merciful here to Jacob because God, it was Jesus, pushed him to the nth degree and beyond so that Jacob had nothing left to do but cling to God and say, bless me. As I finally got the idea of this story, I thought about Liz, I thought about my knees and my minor hip issue, and thought, I wonder if sometimes God doesn't. Wonder? No. God does do that with us. He uses earthly circumstances to push us, just like Jacob, beyond what we're able to do, so that we'll just trust in him. It reminded me of what Jesus said, couple places, actually. He said it in John 16. In this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. It's only when we trust in Jesus that we have victory. There's another verse in John chapter 5. I think it's verse 5. Who is it that overcomes the world but he that believes in the Son of God? Meaning Jesus. Now, we aren't going to have everything here. We're not going to have the victory. And that's what God was trying to tell Jacob. He's going to lose. He's going to meet his brother the next day, by the way. The brother who he thought he was going to kill him and slaughter him because he was so deceptive and mean and cruel to Esau when he was a young kid. And he had to get him ready. And so that next morning, Jacob limped hard, and he met Esau. But, you know, God worked on Esau's heart, too. Not just Jacob, but Esau. And Esau welcomed him gladly as his brother. So, ultimately, in this world, God's at work. That's what I had to conclude from this. And so even when circumstances are bad, even when knees hurt, hips hurt, or a major surgery, as Liz had to have, God's at work, pushing us to the nth degree to trust in him. Now, I have no idea what you're going through today. Maybe the money ain't meeting the bills this month. Maybe you've tried to match your big brother or big sister and just can't. Or maybe you're the big brother and big sister and everyone's looking up to you and you realize you fail. You know, who knows? But whenever you feel yourself up against the wall, remember that God is there too, and he loves you. Just as he loved Jacob, just as he loved Esau, he loves you and me. That's why Jesus, the Son of God, actually came, to overcome the world. He did that by dying on the cross and then coming back alive. When we trust in him, we have a different life. Not this earthly circumstance. Oh, well, yeah, we live the earthly circumstances by all means, but that has the aches and the pains and the problems. But he promises us everlasting life as well as help now. Hey, let's pray. Lord, I guess I gotta say thank you for pushing me and others beyond what we're able. Well, we do it because, say thank you, because we know you're at work. Thank you that you're at work in our lives, loving us, helping us, forgiving us. Oh, help us to see that you are there, and that when daybreak comes, you're smiling at us, because now we can see you face to face, because you rose from the dead. You have overcome the world. Help us to realize that, and help us to cling to you and ask you for a blessing. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Write me, as many of you have, and tell me what your worldly struggles are and what you're struggling with. I'd be happy to listen and then pray for them. You can write me at dave.andrus, A-N-D-R-U-S, at not-alone.net. Thanks. I'm only an email away. Dave.andrus at not-alone.net.